following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be long, just 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and no manipulation, no con games, not soliciting money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We just want to give you some information that may help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If I can do that, then you have the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. That's always up to you. You got one shot at it. God gave you two ends, one to sit with, one to think with, and the heads you win and tails you lose. So think about it. As you go through life, you just got one shot. You're not going to get two. I hope you'll stick with us through the Flatline Radio Show. We continue to broadcast 21 years into this program now in over 125, 26 stations across the country and even out of the country in the Philippines. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the show. If you ever want to visit our website, it's rickhughesministries.org. There you can see all of our books that we've written, and you can order the latest book, which is called The Christian Spiritual Life. It deals with what exactly is your spiritual life. You may also want to order the book Life's Toughest Years, where we talk about young people and what they face in the future. All these are available. As always, all of our material is free of charge. That doesn't mean it doesn't cost us anything. It just means we believe if God's in it, He'll pay for it. So we do our job, and He provides the means for us to do it. All right? Now, I used to do a lot of fishing at night. I'm older now. I can't get around like I used to be able to. I used to love to night fish. That was my best specialty, night fishing. I won a lot of night fishing tournaments on the lake that I live on here in Alabama. And one thing was always interesting about night fishing was fish like to be around light. A lot of people started putting lights under their piers, and it would attract thousands of fish, and you could catch fish under those piers with lights. Sometimes on the darkest part of the lake, there'd be some ambient light from someone's porch light or someone's boat dock light, and I'd like to fish around those lights, and the fish would always be there looking for food, and they could see, and the bait would be readily available to them, and we'd catch a lot of fish around lights. So I want to start to you this morning a little bit about light, but I want to tie it in with the word faithfulness. Faithfulness. I bring this up because I believe the future times in our beloved country are going to demand Christians like yourself remain faithful, especially to what our Lord called us to do. Listen to the words of our Lord about being faithful and the light. Put them together. Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. Uh-oh. You are the light of the world. There you go. That's you. Did you know that? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. These words spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ are a mandate for each of us to be a beacon of truth and hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are to manifest the light, or the phos, the Greek word phos. That's our job, to be a beacon of truth and hope. We are never to sink into the shadows, and we're never to go undetected. In Luke 11:35, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkened. In other words, you don't want to shut off your light. If you don't have light, you're not going to be very attractive to people. You know, the interesting thing about light is it requires an energy source. Darkness is obviously the absence of energy. But the energy believers possess, the energy you and I have, comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit, plus the dynamics of the Word of God when it's alive and powerful and resident in our soul. But there can be no darkness where light exists, because light forces darkness out. And so the first question I want to ask you this morning in your faithful Christian life is your light shining brightly? Is your light shining brightly? The light I speak of is manifested through the mature spiritual life. Are you, in fact, being faithful to add fuel to your fire so that your light does not flicker and diminish? You know, a campfire, somebody's got to keep putting wood on it all night long, or the fire will burn out and just embers will be left and no light. Are you being faithful to add fuel to your fire so that it doesn't flicker and diminish? Those individuals that walk in darkness will obviously be attracted to your light if your light is burning, because it promises safety, it promises security, and it gives deliverance from the enslavement of uncertainty and fear. That's what your light does. And your light is powered by the love of God that transforms all anything we could even imagine. So note the illustration of a military necessity for silence, and I'll try to compare it to the Christian life. The American public has come to regard the submarine force of the United States Navy as the silent service. The Submariner's battle arena is the enemy's doorstep. So in theory, and almost practically, our submarines are in contact with the enemy from the time they leave their base until they return. Their service requires stealth and endurance and flexibility. While these submarines require secrecy and stealth, just the opposite is required of the Christian. We are not to operate in secrecy. We don't need to have stealth. We are to be the light of the world. We are to be the city that's set on a hill with a bright light shining. Let our light shine before men so that they can see our production and glorify God. So we, on the other hand, are to display our commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ proudly. We are indeed to be a beacon of hope, and we do this by reflecting the glory of God. That verse said, "Let your light shine before men." Any believer who's living the Christian spiritual life is like a bright light in a dark forest. I remember driving home from schools that I visited years ago, and sometimes it would be late at night before I got back, and it would be on dark roads. And I would wonder, what would I do if my automobile broke down? What would I do? And I would often see porch lights shining on country homes, and I knew that where there was a light, there was help, and I could go to that light. Our lives represent hope and security to the one who is lost. My light is a reflection of the love of God and for His love for all of mankind. So anytime you are filled with the Holy Spirit, your light is turned on and shining brightly. The word light is often used metaphorically for salvation also. In Psalm 56:13, "For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you kept my feet from falling?" You not kept my feet from falling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living, in the light of the living. And Isaiah 9:2, "The people who walked in darkness have now seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadows of death, upon them a light has shined." When anyone accepts Christ as their Savior, they do so because they saw something they needed. They saw something that was appealing to them, and that's the love of God shining through you by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit and the residence of God's Word in your soul. So the faithful Christian always has his light on. 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We are mandated to walk in the light, and that means not to get in the darkness, not to let sin take over. If you're out of fellowship with unconfessed sin in your life, you're walking in darkness. That's not being faithful. Faithfulness is you keeping your light on. The light that we manufacture is exactly the same beacon of God's grace that our Lord Jesus Christ brought into the darkness of the devil's world. The scriptures say quite a bit about light, and we are to follow as well as manufacture light. But of course, the word light is a metaphor for a specific way of living, and that requires you and I to be faithful to follow that lifestyle. As a human living in the devil's world, we have two choices. Either we can walk in the light of God's Word, or we can walk in darkness of Satan's cosmic system. What's interesting is that as the light glows brighter, the shadows of darkness are eliminated. In a client nation such as ours, we must have mature believers who shine brightly in order to overcome the creeping darkness that we're facing. If you're a Christian and your light is not shining brightly, but has rather been reduced to just a dim glow or no glow, then it's apparent you have not been paying attention to your spiritual life. You obviously are not staying filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're not taking in God's Word on a daily basis. Instead of being faithful, you are faithless, and you are a failure. You actually have now become an enemy of the cross. Paul spoke about that in Philippians 3:18. For many walk, peripateo, the Greek word, lifestyle. Many have a lifestyle of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, it breaks his heart, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, and their end is destruction, that's the sin unto death, whose God is their belly, that's their emotions, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, that's human viewpoint thinking. You know, with the recent events that you've noticed that happened lately of a national crisis disturb you, you may be wondering, what should I do about it? I mean, it was a horrible thing. We all saw what happened on television to Charlie Kirk. So you have to recognize what goes on, what's happening. And you must recognize that as goes your spiritual life, so goes your client nation. If your light has been extinguished, or is just flickering like a light bulb about to go out, what can you do about it? Well, listen carefully and I'll tell you. In 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth. Fear Him and serve Him with all your heart. You hear that? Fear the Lord, that's respect God. Serve Him, that's to be obedient to what He tells you to do with all your heart, that's complete obedience. And consider what great things He's done for you. That's your motivation to serve Him. The Bible calls that reciprocal love. We love God because He first loved us. In 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, God remains faithful. He will not deny Himself. What that simply means is that if you are not burning a light in your soul, if you're not attracting unbelievers, if you've gotten out of fellowship, you've got unconfessed sin in your life, He has not kicked you to the side. He will not deny Himself. What does that mean? It means you are part of the royal family of God, even though your light is diminished, even though you've been unfaithful. He still loves you. You're still His child, and you're still alive for a reason. God's faithfulness to you is always demonstrated, for example, in Lamentations 3:22-23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful, the one who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Failure for you and me to grow spiritually and failure for us to reflect the thinking of Christ brings us shame at the judgment seat of Christ. You can read about it yourself. Write this note down, 1 Corinthians 3:11-15 in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. And read about the believers who show up at the judgment seat of Christ and find out that all they have to do is get wood, hay, and stubble. They have no crowns. No gold, no silver, no jewel, just wood, hay, and stubble. And that's because they were not faithful. Not faithful to grow. Not faithful to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. They let their light be extinguished and it attracted no one. Failure to grow spiritually means you've been distracted from the plan of God for your life. Yep, you may be saved, that's for sure. And yep, you're going to spend eternity in heaven with God, that's for sure. But your faithfulness, your lack of faith has guaranteed that your children and your grandchildren will not have the blessing of God on their future nation. I want to say that again. I hope it shocked you a little bit. failure for you to grow spiritually means you have been distracted from the plan of God for your life. And you have some children, don't you? You have a couple of kids, maybe three or four, maybe some grandkids. And yet you find no time for the Word of God in your life. Your life does not reflect the light of God. Yep, you're saved. Yep, you're going to heaven. But you are guaranteeing that your children and your grandchildren will not have the blessing of God on the future of this nation. You know, in Leviticus, God pronounced five cycles of discipline on the nation of Israel if they forsook His statutes and His commandments. These stages of divine discipline are taught in Leviticus 26. I advise you to read it. Leviticus 26, that's an Old Testament passage, and yes, its context is to the nation Israel. But listen, first God told them how He would be willing to bless them if they would be obedient. Leviticus 26, 3 through 13, He tells them what He'll do, how He'll bless them. But then He turned around and told them how He would discipline them for their disobedience. In Leviticus 26, 14 through 39. Now, I do understand the context of this passage, but I also understand it reflects a pattern of how God deals with His client nations. The fifth cycle of discipline is especially frightening, as it represents total destruction of the nation. Could that happen in America? Are we a client nation? Yes. Well, why would that happen? Because the lights go out. There's not enough light to dispel a darkness. And darkness is creeping across our nation as I speak to you today. So listen to what happens to a nation that lets the light go out. After all of this, if you do not obey Me, and you continue to walk contrary to Me, Leviticus 26:27, then I will walk contrary to you in a fury. And I will chastise you seven times for your sins. And you will eat the flesh of your sons. And you will eat the flesh of your daughters. That's cannibalism. I will destroy your high places. I will cut down your incense altars and cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols. And My soul will abhor you. And I will lay your cities to waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation. And I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. That's their prayer. I won't answer them. That's the serious warning, folks. Pay attention. This could happen to us if we continue to let the light diminish in this nation. Failure individually is reflected by failure nationally. Do you hear that? Failure individually is reflected by failure nationally. Our country, the United States of America, is in serious trouble today. We are divided in many different ways. You know as well as I do that several generations have been deprived of hearing the truth of the gospel. In the 70s, I spoke in hundreds of schools. In 2 years, I spoke in 430 high schools across the great state of Mississippi and hundreds across the state of Georgia, into Louisiana and Texas. And I could talk about God's Word. I could talk about salvation. I could talk about Jesus Christ. And there was no problem. I remember one school I was walking into in Greenville, Mississippi, and I was following a couple of kids into the school. And this one kid pulled out a pint of whiskey, chugged it down and threw the bottle in the bushes and walked inside. And I thought, now I got to go in there and talk to these kids, and this one's going to be drunk. You know, we shut down teaching God's Word in schools. Didn't want to offend anybody. Got sued by the American Civil Liberty Union for teaching the Bible. We shut down religious displays in the public arenas. The concept of family has been attacked and in many cases even ignored. The family, by the way, is where genuine humility begins, by teaching respect for authority. Our nation has justified many, many immoral and many perverted sins and given a voice to those who recruit for the cosmic system. One man cannot reverse these trends overnight by himself. You and I, we are the game changers. We must bring our light into the darkness of the cosmic system. We must be faithful to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a Christian activist. I'm not talking about crusader arrogance. You've got to remember that God did not leave us here to clean up the devil's world. Our job is to shine the light of the glorious gospel and call people to salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. That effort alone is enough to get you hated and to make you a target for elimination by Satan. Remember, our Lord told the disciples what was going to happen to him. He told them the day was coming when they would be killed by those who opposed their message. In John 16:2-3, they will put you out of the synagogue. They will put you out of the synagogue. And yes, the time is coming, he told the disciples. Whoever kills you will think he offers God service. God is not the author of murder. Satan is a murderer from the beginning. And they will kill you thinking they are helping God out. That's what Jesus told the disciples. These things they will do to you because they have not known the Father and they have not known me. Our Lord warned those who questioned his claim to be the Son of God. He warned them about that. Listen to what he told them in John 12:34. The people answered and said, "We've heard from the law that Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" In verse 35 in John 12, Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you." The light is with you. In other words, his life held back the darkness. "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is or where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. I have a friend of mine who was a special forces soldier doing night maneuvers, parachuted at night into the jungle. And kiddingly, he told me, he said, "I learned something about trees at night. I kept tripping and falling down." He said, "Trees lay down on the ground to rest at night and they stand up during the daytime." Well, that's not true. But you stumble in the darkness if you don't have light. Our nation is a stumbling, bumbling mess. Many individuals have no light and want no light and think they're smarter than God. I'm always interested in the people who say, "Oh, I'm an atheist." I say, "Really, you are?" "Yeah, I'm an atheist." "How do you know God doesn't exist?" "Never seen him." They say, "I've never seen God." "Well, did you go to Mars and look for God?" "Well, there's a satellite that went around Mars and it didn't see God." I said, "Well, how about Pluto? Did you go to Pluto and look for God?" If you say there's no God, you got to be God yourself, because you got to look everywhere in the universe at one time. And if there's one place left out and God's there, you're in a big heap of trouble. But your own arrogance lets you walk in the darkness. You think there's no God because you haven't seen him. What a tragedy. God loves you. Christ died for you. Remember the verse, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believed in him would not have to perish but have everlasting life." That's the love of God demonstrated through sacrificing his Son. So let's review a little bit of what we studied today. Hopefully, 1, Christ is the light of the world. 2, we are to reflect that light by reaching spiritual maturity in our life. 3, faithfulness is required if you wish to serve the Lord. 4, the unfaithful Christian is a failure due to wrong priorities in their life. 5, Client Nation USA can only be delivered by those faithful believers who understand the protocol plan of God. 6, Christian activism will never clean up the devil's world. 7, our job is to win souls to Christ, not clean up the devil's mess. 8, if you have failed to prioritize your spiritual life, you are a failure. You have no light. 9, rebound is how we recover from being a failure. This gives us the first energy source for light, But we then must add the Word of God to our soul's mentality in order to keep the fire burning brightly. And 10, remember, a campfire will burn out if you don't keep adding fuel to it. And 11, there's nothing more discouraging than a Christian who, through his unfaithfulness, let his light go out. In John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world, so that whoever believes in me will not have to abide in darkness. And lastly, the devil's world operates under the cloak of darkness, and only the light of God's Word can penetrate that darkness. And you are the light. You are the light. I hope you've been listening. I hope you'll admit it if your light is out. If your spiritual life is non-existence, I hope you realize what a failure you've been, and you'll recover by confessing your sin to God and getting back in fellowship. Begin to stay filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to take in God's Word daily. There's only so much time we have left in our personal lives and in the history of this nation. We're standing on a divided course right now. Many, many people hate believers, hate Christians, hate what they stand for. Many people have their own ideas about how this country should be led. You must be the light. You must be the light that lights the way for people so they can see the truth. The truth is God loves them. The truth is Christ died for them. And the truth is there's peace and happiness and security when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for coming to my show today. Thank you for listening to the things I had to say. I hope you'll come back next week, same time. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It will not be long, short time, about 30 minutes, but a lot of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and done with no manipulation. Because we don't try to con people. We're not trying to raise money. We're not trying to sell you something. We're not going to ask you to join anything or give up anything. We just want to give you some information. Hopefully, the information will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If that's true, then you can verify that and orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But I like to come on every Sunday morning with that same introduction, letting you know exactly what our agenda is. You can always go to our website, which is rickhughesministries.org. It's rickhughesministries.org. And you can see the various books that we've written that are provided free of charge, along with some audio recordings that are provided free of charge. We don't charge for anything. And kind of get a notice of who we are and what we like to do. It's all on the website right there. And there's even an 800 number. And I advise you, if you call the 800 number, speak very slowly and very distinctly so we can understand your name and address. A lot of times people talk very fast and don't leave their name and address correctly, and I just can't hear it. So if you call the 800 number, speak very slowly, very distinctly. We remind you of a couple of books we've got. One recently came out on the Christian spiritual life. It deals with what is your spiritual life, and also the book we recommend for you to gather and give to young people, which is Life's Toughest Years. I haven't mentioned this in a while, but we have distinct transcripts of all our shows from 2019, 2020, and 2021. That's 52 shows in print for you to read. So the books that are distinctly in print, they're transcripts. So if you'd like to order those, you can order those as well. So thank you for your time this morning, and let me get into what I want to talk about. This is show 1050 of the Flightline Radio Show, playing this morning in 126 stations across the country. In John 12:46, the Bible says, "I have come as light unto the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." The key word, darkness. Last week I delivered to you a message on letting your light shine. And we examined passages like Matthew 5:14-16, where our Lord said that his disciples are the light of the world. Actually, it could have read, bringing light into a dark world. I want to focus on the word darkness this morning because you may be like me, waking up early before the sun comes up while it's still dark. I do that generally every morning. It's still dark. As I sip on my coffee and look at the news, I watch the light slowly emerge until the darkness is no longer there. The word darkness in the New Testament is the Greek word skotia, S-K-O-T-I-A, skotia. That's the English word darkness. It's primarily used metaphorically to describe wickedness and sinfulness living in this world. Our Lord invites all people to walk in His light, His love and righteousness and justice, instead of their own state of darkness. In John 8:12, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's a guiding light in their life to guide them through life, orienting to the justice and the righteousness and the love of God. But I want to remind you that any individual who has hatred in his heart, and you've seen this politically lately, assassinations due to hatred, any individual who has hatred in his heart may actually think they are enlightened, but in reality, they're deceived and even blinded. That's what political persuasions do. Listen to 1 John 2:9. "He that saith he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness, even until now." In 1 John 2:11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes," which simply means has caused him to stumble. That passage written by John says he walketh in darkness. The word walketh is the Greek word peripateo, peripateo, and it literally means has a lifestyle of darkness. So there's nothing worse than an individual so full of hate that he cannot even see what he's doing because his thinking is blinded by his own emotions, which means he's not thinking at all, but he's acting on the emotions of hatred and often revenge motivation. This way of thinking is exactly the opposite of what we as Christians are called to do. Listen to Matthew 5:44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, how about that? There are four distinct commands there. Love your enemies. Love. There are four Greek words for love in the Bible. Eros is one of them. We get the word erotic from it. Philos is another one. We get the word Philadelphia from it. And agape or agapao is another one. And what this word is agapao. Love your enemies. This is exactly what God did for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Your job as a Christian is to agapao those who hate you and bless them that curse you, that verse says. The word bless, interesting word there, it means to speak well of. Do not degrade them. Do not run them down. Do not curse them, but bless them. Bless the ones that curse you. It's because they call you names and curse you doesn't give you the right to call them a name and curse them. So we have two mandates, love them, bless them, and then we have do good to them that hate you. That means don't take revenge on them, don't seek to get even with them. And then pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. How about that? What are you praying for? Well, you're praying that God the Holy Spirit would give them some information so they would see exactly what they're doing. You can't ask for them to be saved until they're ready to do it. Now, you can pray for them to have the information. You can pray for them to hear the gospel. Pray for them to respond to it. But God's going to give each person their own volition, their own privacy. As a man seeketh, so it'll be. The Bible teaches us that. And so you can pray for them to be exposed to the truth and to respond to the truth. So the people that despitefully hate me, that despitefully persecute me, they're my enemies. I'm to love them. I'm not to speak bad about them, not to degrade them. I'm not to take revenge on them, and I'm to pray for them. That's all right there in Matthew 5:44. Underline it in your Bible. Because you may have people that hate you and say nasty things about you, and you may wonder, well, what should I do about that? There it is right there. Paul wrote in the letter to the church at Ephesus that he did not want believers to live like Gentiles lived, since Gentiles had garbage in their mind, a vacuum in their mind. Literally, their mind sucked in garbage. And here's what he said. He said in Ephesians 4, their understanding is darkened. There's that word darkened again. Darkened, skotizo. And it means that his spiritual condition is darkened. He's deprived of light. He doesn't see the way. He doesn't understand the truth. Unfortunately, a lost person cannot see his spiritual condition unless, and I say unless, the Holy Spirit convicts them of sin and of unrighteousness. The Bible teaches that in Romans 1:21. And the Scriptures tell us that arrogance and ignorance produce a heart that is darkened, which is literally a person who has an inability to recognize his spiritual condition. It's at this point that the Holy Spirit can shine the light of the gospel into their thinking in order that they may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's here that you must realize it's you who the Holy Spirit would use to bring that light to them. Consider they're walking in darkness in the woods and they're lost, and you have a spotlight and you go into the woods to find them and you bring them light. The light you're bringing is in your soul, and it's generated by the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in you. And it's the light of love. It's the light of forgiveness. That's what the lost man responds to. He's not interested in your political affiliation. That's not the power that God uses to convict and convince and change anybody. The power is found in Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes it, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. The greatest light you possess and I possess is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What he provided on that cross and what he generated and proved with his resurrection. So your power to dispel darkness and the sin and unbelief. What is my power? It's the gospel. It's my power to dispel darkness, the darkness of sin, the darkness of unbelief. The gospel can dispel it. You know why people love darkness? It's because their deeds and actions are evil. In John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Sin and unbelief hide under the cover of darkness. They do. And that darkness is simply a void of truth. And you know, Satan is in the darkness business. He doesn't want you to give truth to anyone. He doesn't want you to light anyone's path up. Well, if he can keep you from doing that, listen to Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation from God, the people perish. So that's exactly what Satan wants to do. Shut you down so you don't shine the light of the gospel into the heart of any lost person. My salvation and your salvation was a direct result of God's grace enlightening us. You want to hear it? 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the direct result of God's grace enlightening me and enlightening you. I'm going to read it one more time. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, that's who did it, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, that's what you and I were walking in, have shined into our hearts, that's our mentality, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge, that's what I told you, it's your mentality, it's your thinking, it's your understanding. You've been an unbeliever, you become a believer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. In Colossians 1:13, again, God does it, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. How did he deliver us from the power of darkness? By faith alone and Christ alone. By the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lifestyle after we believe in Christ is to avoid that darkness and also to expose it whenever we can. In Ephesians 5:11, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove it. So stay away from it. If you know people that are unbelievers, and they live in darkness and they walk in darkness and their whole way of thinking is darkness, stay out of it. Stay away from it. Don't go into partnership with them. Don't get any kinship with them. Reprove them. What does that mean? Shine the light. Shine the light. Give them the gospel. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. If they reject it, that's on them, not on you. You know, the devil has many mouthpieces. It's interesting. Even religious leaders who deceive individuals. And their judgment is going to be darkness forever. In 2 Peter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now that's today. People who privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon them their own selves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. These are religious people, false prophets, people that have pulpits, and they will be teaching false information, damnable heresies. I wish I could read some letters to you that I get from people that go to churches where this very thing happens. Listen to verse 3 of 2 Peter 2. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbereth not. They make merchandise of you through covetousness, a desire to hoodwink you, a desire to make money off of you. Make merchandise of you. It's interesting that the scriptures say they make merchandise of you. Now, I see many ministries on social media selling material, selling hats, selling t-shirts, selling books, selling their music. People go to speak at a local church and they set up a display table selling all their merchandise. They all believe it's okay to sell materials to Christians in order to finance their ministry. It is not okay. That is not what you're called to do. If you have t-shirts and hats and books, give them away. Don't sell them. You're not there to sell things. You're there to give the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in this passage, many will follow their pernicious ways. They will have a harmful effect on them. Many will follow it. False prophets. So, what your job as a believer is not to sell anything, but rather to give something. And that something is the light of the gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, that's free, it doesn't cost anything. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God doesn't ask you to buy a t-shirt and to wear it and say, I'm saved. I bought this t-shirt. God's selling t-shirts. God's selling hats. I'm a saved person. I'm wearing a hat now. Don't do it. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the Bible tells us to beware of the canine clergy. Say, who is that? Well, in Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. There it is, right there. sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and as harmless as a dove. You know, the wolves love to operate under the cover of darkness, which means you will not be able to recognize their devious assault. Satan himself is sometimes compared to a roaring lion, which is literally someone who can destroy you. The reason he would seek to destroy and maim you is because you have the light, which is literally the keys to eternal life. As a member of God's royal family, your job is to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by means of us." In other words, God is using us to come to you. "And we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." Now, there's only one way that an individual can be reconciled to God, and that is through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Did you hear that? All things are of God, who reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. You don't reconcile yourself to God. It's impossible to do that. There are none that are righteous. No, not one. The Bible's clear about that. All of your good works are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. If you think you're reconciling yourself to God because you're being a good boy and you don't cuss and you don't drink and you don't smoke and you don't do this and you don't do that, you're kidding yourself. Reconcile us to himself by means of Jesus Christ's death and burial and resurrection. And our job is to have the ministry of reconciliation ourselves, to spread that light. Our ministry is to seek and save those that are lost. In Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Let me give you an illustration. I remember a deer hunting experience that I'd like to share with you. Deer hunting requires preparation, scouting for a good location where you have a chance of seeing the game. In this particular case, I had scouted and secured a location to erect my deer stand. Having arrived well before daylight in the darkness, I settled in, waiting the opportunity to harvest the game. Shortly after daylight, another hunter came walking into my area, spooking any game that might have been close. When I spoke loudly to him, "Hey, hey, hey," all the while 20 feet up a tree stand, he was startled. He had wandered in before daylight, and he was lost, trying to find his way back. The only problem was he was going in the wrong direction, lost and did not even know it. It's a good thing I was able to point him in the right direction. From 20 feet up, I could see where his truck was, and he couldn't. Unbelievers are lost. Fortunately for them, you have the light, which can point them in the right direction, which is always to the cross of Calvary. Excuse me. The advantage we have is that we have a GPS system provided by God. You know, we use a GPS on our telephones and our mapping. But God's protocol system, GPS, God's protocol system, is an eternal light that comes from the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God that gives us an advantage over any lost person who wanders around in darkness. The non-Christian, the unbeliever, has only two choices. He can buy into what Satan is selling, which is his own roadmap to happiness, or he can buy into human viewpoint rationale based on the testimony of some friend or marketeer who's trying to sell the latest book on how to be successful. Satan will sell you a roadmap in a minute, and it will take you in the wrong direction. Or this marketeer will sell you his book in a minute and tell you how to be successful, and it has nothing to do with the plan of God. You know, something that's even worse, even sadder, are those believers who've lost their way, having been given the wrong direction. Christian life requires perfect execution, so we're not allowed to make up our own rules. So many are not taught how to live the spiritual life. That's why we wrote that book, The Christian Spiritual Life. They haven't been taught that, and the results are usually devastating. Why? Because they substitute emotion for spiritual growth. And they eventually misrepresent the way to salvation. They cause error in the gospel message. You know, public altar calls telling individuals they must come forward to be saved. They must repent of their sins in order to be saved. That's just two examples of misrepresenting God and his plan. Now, I remember when I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was 22 years old, and I was with a lot of people who were enthusiastic about God. Unfortunately, many of those whom were enjoying that emotional high were nowhere to be found 5 years down the road. In my case, I was very fortunate because I got under the ministry of a great teaching pastor who equipped me to serve the Lord based on the content of Scripture in my soul, hopefully making me a mature spiritual believer. Now, it's possible that you're hearing me say things that buck the modern trend of religious revivals. I want you to know if there's ever going to be a true revival of faith, we have to start with faith alone and Christ alone. But then we must insist that those new people converts, those new believers, get into a Bible-teaching church where they can learn how to execute God's protocol plan. Now, I promise you, spiritual growth is not easy. I want to say that one more time. Spiritual growth is not easy. It requires daily decisions to stay filled with the Holy Spirit and daily decisions to listen to the teaching of God's Word. Salvation, on the other hand, requires only one decision, one moment in time, one simple decision, because all the work was done for you when Christ took your place on the cross. But if you want to grow spiritually, you're going to do that on your own. Christ can't do that for you. So it requires you to do what the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the truth, or to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a daily commandment. Spiritual growth is not easy. You have to make that decision every day to stay in the Word. You have to make that decision every day to rebound when you know you've sinned, to confess your sin and get back in fellowship and not quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. All the work was done for you in salvation, yes, but all the work was not done for you in spiritual growth. So what about it? What do you think about that? If you really want your light to shine brightly, if you really want your light to effectively lead other people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to have to do the hard part, which is obedience daily in order to grow in grace and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. So my question to you is, do you have that sort of hunger? I have spoken to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and I have seen thousands that don't have that hunger. They love God. They say, oh, I love God. Yes, I do. But they don't have the hunger to get in the Word and grow. They don't have the hunger to find a well-qualified pastor they can study under because it's not convenient to them. And they easily get swept away in the details of life, such as children, sports, enthusiasm, job, hobbies, whatever. And they wander off down the my way highway. They'll be in heaven. They'll have eternal life, but they'll never be able to shine a light of the glory of God into the life of any unbeliever because they're out of fellowship most of the time and they quench the Holy Spirit. Their prayer life's not even effective. Not even effective. You know, people say, pray, pray, brother, pray. Don't forget the Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. So much to consider. But we have to understand our job is to bring light into the dark world. The darkness, the scotia. That's our job, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to bring light into this dark world. Man, I hope you're listening. I hope you're hungry. I hope you want to grow. I hope you want to be that believer God's expecting you to be so your light can shine brightly into the darkness of Satan's world. Okay? All right, until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flight Line. If you need anything, don't hesitate to go to our website and order it free of charge or give us a call on the 800 number, but make sure you speak slowly and distinctly so we can understand your message. So until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flight Line.
Thank you for listening to The Flight Line with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.